In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. Welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa, here on 1701 AM, the Voice of Charity Radio Network, as we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world today. Welcome back, Keita Sanchez.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
It's the first one with you this year so far. Yeah, wonderful.
Is it your second week back here?
It's the second week back here on the Catholic Toolbox, bigger and better for 2020.
Nice.
Wonderful.
It's good to be back.
And back to work?
Back to work.
And back to work. We're all back to work here and back to the real world, back to reality. And the reality remains, how are we evangelizing in the workplace, in where we spend most amount of time during our week? I mean, people spend more time at work, it occurred to me, than that we spend at home and we spend sleeping. We spend an average about six hours sleeping. So you spend most of your life
Maybe for you, 6 hours is enough.
6 hours, yeah, six to seven.
Some of us, we need a little bit extra than that.
Yeah, I think I do need a little bit extra than that, yeah. I need about 8 hours of sleep, but... So the main point is...
what weekends and holidays are for.
The main point is that, look, most people do spend their whole life at work. And we have a calling, not just on Sunday and at Mass... to go and evangelize. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20, says, Go ye therefore and baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we are called to evangelize. The church makes it very clear. It's the obligation of every single baptized Christian, as Catholic, to evangelize and spread the gospel and bring people who are not Catholic or who are lapsed Catholics. I think that's a special project, what we call the new evangelization today, because it's very important. I mean, we have half a job to do pretty much with Catholics who are lapsed. If we can get them back to Mass, I mean, because it's 8% of Catholics go to church on Sunday. I mean, that tells you if you don't go to church on Sunday, you're not a practicing Catholic. It's very clear. I mean, unless there's a good reason, I mean, Mass is... you know, only 1 hour.
Most people are able, aren't they?
So we have a job to do to get people to the Catholic faith, because we do believe inherently that the church is necessary to get to heaven. Everybody will die. Everybody will be judged. And it will be either heaven or it will either be hell for all eternity. And that's an unescapable reality. And the only way to get to heaven is through the Catholic Church, outside which there is no salvation, as the Church says, extra ecclesiam nulla salus. Outside the Church, there is no salvation. You know?
Thanks for clarifying that.
It sounds very pre-Vatican II, you know? You know, very strict, you know, very rigid.
Maybe just the way you say it.
Extra ecclesiam nulla salus. So what's that saying? Everyone goes to hell? That's not Catholic? No. The Church said that the Church is the only way to heaven. Because if Jesus Christ is God and Jesus is in heaven, naturally, he's in heaven. It's not going to be any other religion and their deities or gods that are in heaven. So the Catholic Church is the truth that leads you ultimately to heaven.
Yeah.
And the Church proceeded after the Second Vatican Council, the New Catechism, to clarify that, look, we have separate brethren who are Protestants. We have people who have... what's called a salvific union with the Church. So they have elements and bits and pieces of the truth.
They don't have the fullness of it.
Exactly. So the Catholic faith is the fullness of the truth. So it's another dimension of seeing it. I think people either get stuck before Vatican II and say, nut, or they either get stuck post Vatican II and they say, oh, nut, everyone can get to heaven. The church isn't necessary for salvation. We throw the baby out of the bathwater completely.
Yeah.
I mean, we just say, oh, it doesn't matter about the church. All the, you know, the same, same.
Not really.
All the same. It's not really the same. So, look, we have a necessary obligation to receive the grace of God from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, from the church, to receive sanctification, to receive the ammo to then go out and spend most of your life at work or in your profession or your daily life in the ordinary circumstances and bring people to the Catholic faith. Now, that's not easy. Because most people today, you know, envision that I'm going to be preaching the gospel. I've got to stand up with a little microphone speaker thing, stand at Town Hall Station in Sydney CBD or Parramatta CBD or Blacktown or Penrith outside Westfields, stand up and start preaching the gospel and tell people to come to Mass.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
what do you do when you see people like that who do that on the street?
Look, I'm going to be honest. It's a turn off.
Okay.
I personally get turned off
yeah.
because of the way they, I mean, you're just standing up there, you're screaming at people, and especially in a business district, it doesn't appeal to people. It's very hard, you know. I think it helps. It strikes some kind of
look, it's very courageous, but it's not a point of attraction for me either. Yeah, I think it's a little bit harder to, I think to just get people's attention that way, you just come off as aggressive. And as something like, oh, I don't want to go there. Like, I don't want to be part of that drama, whatever that's going on at the tunnel of Central Station. I don't know.
Yeah. I want to get out of that tunnel.
Like get me out.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good idea. We got a flash mob. A flash mob is a good idea.
Okay.
A flash mob. We had a flash mob singing Gregorian chant in the tunnel. I mean, that was appealing.
When did that happen?
I think about 6 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you got to know what appeals to people. I mean, look, I think sometimes it can work where you stand, you give a little bit of speech, but it has to be very appealing. I mean, it's about being part of our culture today. What appeals? At the end of the day, the gospel's never appealing. See, this is where a lot of people struggle.
The gospel's a tough cookie to swallow sometimes.
Exactly.
There's a lot of times where our Lord preaches and it's like, ooh, did he really just say that?
Exactly.
And he dropped the mic. He totally did. But it had to happen.
Yeah, and people walk away.
Yeah, totally.
So, okay, look, let's recognize some parameters because there's so much confusion around the Catholic world. People just think that evangelization is me being either standing there and preaching and asking, meeting somebody, here's my name. Oh, what's your religion? Oh, I'm Catholic, and starting to preach to them. Hi, Akita.
Dort Belling.
George. My name's George. Are you Catholic?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Oh, that's great. It's great to hear. I'm Catholic too.
Oh,
there's not much work that needs to be done.
What parish do you go to?
Ah, that's a good question.
Yeah. That's what I always ask when I meet new Catholics. And I'm like, what parish do you go to?
That's a good question. Yeah.
And then, they either tell me like several different parishes that they attend.
So they're a parish hopper.
Yeah. Or, you know, whatever one, you know, sometimes they're at work, sometimes they're closer to home.
So yeah, exactly. So
you can go to.
Look, let's make some parameters here. How do you know if you have evangelized? I mean, our Lord's teaching that we have to go and spread the word, and the teaching of the church is clear. We have to evangelize and witness to Christ. How do we do that in 2020? I was going to say 2019, but we've moved on to 2020. How do we actually do that in 2020? When you're, let's say, specifically at work, we're not going to speak about ordinary circumstances. You may be able to use these tips in the ordinary circumstances, other events, social stuff. But let's talk about work. Work is a big thing.
Yeah.
You spend time with these people 7 to 9 hours a day. Could be 12 hours a day. You spend more time with them than your family. Surely, these topics or aspects of life or the meaning of life maybe come up.
Yeah.
So let's create some parameters. For you to have evangelized, you have to it can't be just about, you know, being too, we can't be let's look
you
at
can't
both
be
sides
too
of the spectrum.
Rigid when you do it.
Yeah.
You got to have a little bit of heart when you do it.
So that's the other end of the spectrum.
I think that's so important,
Yeah, so we can't be too hate in your face.
We can't be too aloof about it either.
Yeah.
You really have to be structured and focused if that is your goal and if you want to reach that goal. Exactly. Just like with anything else.
So the one side is that, hey, we don't want to be too, we don't want to be perceived as a religious nut. That's something else. And we do. Look, the objective fact is we get many people, and it turns me off as well, and turns off a lot of other people who are practicing Catholics, and henceforth, people who don't practice the faith, is putting 10 rosaries around your head, a photo on every single avenue of your desk, you know, talking too much about religion all the time. We all know that person, and it gets annoying. And that's not witnessing to your faith. I think that's too much. So we got to tone it down.
Just balance it out.
And there's the other side of the spectrum of people who say, oh, well, it's by witnessing to the gospel, by doing great work. And that translates as I do nothing. I just keep it to myself that I'm Catholic and hope for the best, you know, that they maybe pick up I'm
Catholic. You know why? Because that's the easy way to do it.
Yeah. By example.
But it's so hard to not do that. You know.
Look, and I put it myself.
It's such a challenge.
I put it myself. I mean, it's so hard to actually just get that right balance, and that's what's so hard about today. Yeah. Because today people are just so sensitive.
Yeah.
Society's so. You got to be politically correct. I understand. We have to be diplomatic. So, it applies to evangelizing in the workplace and being professional about it and being a balanced individual. What people want to see is that. You're exactly like them, but you have something greater. You have meaning, and you have better meaning to your life, and better. You're at peace.
Yeah.
That's what people want to see. They want to see. We live in a very utilitarian culture. To feed on that, to help them evangelize, we got to look at the tactics, the aspects of what people today want. People are very egotistical. People are very. Can be very utilitarian, especially in the corporate world where it's all sharks and it's a very shark culture. So you got to show them, look, what Catholicism is doing for you today and how it can change you. It's not about getting things, but show them a little bit. So let's meet in between. That evangelization is speaking about your faith, mentioning that you're Catholic, mentioning I go to church, mentioning I do these things through the discourse of working there at the appropriate times. With the appropriate balance, and also showing by example. As St. Francis says, spread the word and use word. I think he said, and use words if necessary.
That's very
so we got to get that balance. Words are necessary because at the end of the day, people can't be catechized by an example entirely.
They might not even pick the hint up.
Exactly. So we got to get it. We got to tell people we're Catholic. As some say, they need to know at some stage, they need to know that you do practice your faith so you can answer their questions. And you need to see that I'm working better as a Catholic. I'm living my faith. I'm doing a good job. I'm working ethically. And they need to see the example. They need to see you talk about the knowledge of Catholicism and need to see you work at it. And what better way than doing a great job at what you're there for? You're not there to show by example, just any kind of an example. You're there to deliver a result. And if you, and the key to evangelizing, I believe, with the teaching of the church, fulfilling this teaching of our Lord in the workplace, is very seriously doing a good job and speaking about Christ. And we'll explore that. We're joined by Akita Sanchez. We continue our discussion on how to evangelize in your workplace, the very tough task of actually carrying that out. It's like time to take the three practical tools from our toolbox for the week. So drum roll, imaginary drum roll.
You do it better than I do.
Yeah, I think, I better stop there.
Okay.
All right, so three practical tools and how to actually take action in evangelizing in your workforce today in 2020.
Yeah. Well, with every...
Number one.
With every challenge, I feel that you just always need a little bit of that support.
Yep.
So why not ask for it from our Father himself? And for me, what I personally do every day before I even step into work is I step into the chapel. I mean, the church next to my work.
Yeah.
So I go there, say my prayer for 15 minutes in the morning, and then I go to work. And I make the effort to come in earlier. Just so that I do have that time.
Yep.
For a variety of reasons. First, if I catch the earlier train, I save money on the train.
Oh, that's good, yeah. But I think the Opal also, the Opal accumulates to
yeah. to so the Opal card. If I just take one train earlier,
yeah,
like I'll save money and that adds up. But at the same time, it gives me time to really just reset, refocus. You know, I've gotten over the hump of waking up and, you know, getting ready and then I'm tired again.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly, yeah.
So if you have that time to just, you know, just relax a little bit before work and then you got into work, you're more awake than when you've had your morning coffee.
Exactly. It's the natural adrenaline that actually kicks in.
Yeah. So that's personally what I do. I pray every day before I start my work day, which is really important.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, we can't evangelize without the grace of God.
That's right.
Definitely. Because at the end of the day, we could be zealous about witnessing for the faith, but then we look at the fact that it's not my work. I'm just carrying out what the Holy Spirit wants me to do.
Yeah. And if you... So grace is necessary. Even though, like, we know we want to challenge you all to evangelize in your workspace, we know that it's difficult because we've experienced this ourselves. So, you know, that's just really something to equip you before your day begins and maybe ask the Lord for courage to say, yes, I did go to Mass on Sunday.
Yeah.
Or, whatever it is. Or if you have to go to lunch at a certain time every day to make daily Mass, you know, sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you just
I think we can all generally fit in daily Mass unless, look, I mean, there are a lot of lunchtime Masses. I mean, you can make the effort. The grace of the Mass will help you evangelize. It's very necessary. That's why we're not speaking about in the first practical tool just what to do before we rush and we think we're going to jump in and do our thing. That's where the pride kicks in, that, you know, and that false zealousness that hey, I can't wait to evangelize. I've got to do something. But hey, God wants you to be sanctified first. You can't evangelize somebody if you're not doing what. You can't advise somebody to do something that you haven't done personally.
No, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's necessary in order to evangelize, to take seriously, to reload spiritually.
Yeah.
To give something.
Yeah.
You can't give what you don't have.
That's exactly right. So, you know, there's so many saints who you could ask for help, but also Our Lady.
Yeah.
So she'll always be able to help you if you really have a certain goal that you
exactly,
want
to definitely. Achieve.
And to, of course, speak about the work of her children.
Definitely. Now let's go to the second practical tool. Okay. Drum roll, drum roll, drum roll, drum roll, drum roll.
So the second
better
tool,
than my old one.
Oh, I don't know about that. The second practical tool. This is mainly because I know there's so many different jobs out there. Not everybody has a desk job or an
office
job.
Different. There's obviously a lot of the tradespeople start at 6, 5:30, 7 o'clock.
So
corporate start at 9, finish at 5.
So many different work sectors out there. I mean, even barista is night considered shifts. A work job, right?
Yeah, like, there you go.
So there's so many different roles out there. But, you know, I just remember when I was working in retail or when I am doing a job where I have to serve people who I don't know, you just have to be really kind and genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that does a lot more than you think it does, just because I know that translates that, you know, oh, why are you so nice at 3 p.m. when everybody else is like so angry about work?
Exactly.
You know, when everyone's at that 3 p.m. slump, I just want to go home, and then you're still cheery and happy and to serve people and still kind and still happy to pick up the phone. Not me most days, I promise you. It's so hard sometimes.
Yeah.
But being able to just smile sometimes can make the biggest difference. And it can just really show people that you do have a different kind of mentality when it comes to your faith. And it might not be that obvious, but sometimes that's the real reason for it. And I know that you spoke about, oh, it's so easy to just be the witness and that's the easy way out. But kindness can really bring you to places where you didn't even expect.
Kindness, wow.
Yeah.
That's a very serious thing.
And it's huge. So I wouldn't downplay it as much as society might these days, but it's a very necessary thing.
And let's now go to our third practical tool. Drum roll, drum roll, drum roll. The third one is to talk about your weekend evangelization. I think that's the best avenue to actually start.
Yeah.
Is to talk about the weekend. I mean, what can strike a religious conversation? What you did on the weekend. They can get an insight into personally what you did over that time. And look, the perfect example for me and the good starting point for me from my experience is that I was having tea, obviously managing director there, he was there, and you know, I made a tea and he asked me what I did over the weekend. I said, did this, you know, went out for lunch, went out for here, and church as well, church on Sunday, and I knew he'd be a practicing Christian as well, wasn't Catholic, and he said, what church would that be? I said, I'm Catholic. He said, I grew up as a Catholic. Oh, no. It's a very common thing, you know. A lot of people grew up as Catholics, and now he's gone off and started his own little ministry in church as one of our separate brethren, Protestants. But that was a starting point. And then we got into a conversation about faith. So that's how I've started conversations about faith with individuals.
It's really like you're opening.
Yeah. So I think take weekend talk seriously on Monday for those listening. That's the best avenue to start. And when you talk about it.
Don't worry about going to, you know, your work time. Just do it.
Yeah. So we're giving everybody an easy suggestion to actually take. That is talk about your weekend. Everybody loves the weekend. Talk about it and include you going to mass and you going to church activities, word it in there a little bit that, you know, we have church activities on and...
Yeah, you can be creative about it.
Yeah, creative. Mention, look, I'm a Catholic, I go to church and I'm practicing Catholic and go to church. Or if you start a new job, look, someone might ask your culture. Use your culture or let's say your ethnic background if you're a migrant to say, we do this as Catholics. Or Atlanta, we fast from meat or as a practicing Catholic.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways to word it in there and then start a conversation, see where they're at and listen to those people.
Yeah. See, that's really interesting that you bring up about the weekend. But for me, because, you know, I love food. But also,
we all love food.
I work in a very female-dominated kind of office.
Oh, wow.
And so what happens is it's like, I'm on a new diet. Mm. Or when Lent rolls around, it's kind of like, I'm actually doing vegan diet at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't because I'm... weak.
I can't do vegan. I don't understand how anyone does vegan. It's
but so hard. You know, our Orthodox brothers and sisters do it, and so when they're like, there's a really great vegan cafe up down the road, and you're like, why'd you eat there? It's like, I'm fasting from Lent, for Lent. Yeah. And you're like, wow, that's pretty hardcore.
And you're not coming in strong by saying, look, I'm practicing it out of nowhere. What you're doing is you're bringing, let's say, a season or an occasion to mention your faith. Yeah. Use the weekend. I think that's the most common occasion that you can mention Sunday Mass.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to go to a wedding or a baptism or something like that. And
where can you mention, do weekend talk? Let's say you're driving somebody to a site, to a meeting, walk into a meeting or having
When you're making your coffee on Monday morning whenever and everyone's in the kitchen, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Whenever conversations are socially acceptable, I think it's perfect to talk about your weekend and mention Sunday Mass, church,
for me,
an event.
For me, it's always...
We had a party. You could always make one up. Yeah. I've made things up and I've said, look, I got my church activity. Somebody else, you know, said to me, I have my church activity. He was Catholic. Obviously, it was... I think it was Iglesia Ni Cristo.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then I said, we have
I don't even know if that's Christian.
Well, yeah, it's debatable. but it's a perfect avenue and you can't go wrong because it's not religion purely motivated that's starting the conversation because that's the best way to bring it in. And somebody said, look, what are you doing? I said, we're going to have a big barbecue because of food. because of food, because we couldn't, because we're fasting and because of meat as well. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then eventually, and we were in a 30-minute drive to a site. And it was perfect. then we had a conversation about, yeah, Catholicism and my religion, and he was a lapsed Catholic, and then obviously gave him, explained to him, look, I'm of Eastern Catholic origin, so I explained to him that whole concept, and you can explain things to people, you know, in that right context, and that's all it needs. And then the next time something like that comes up, then next time you got to drive to that same site, you can have that second conversation, third conversation. Mm. And then it's followed up by the way you go back to the office and carry work for that person ethically, going that extra mile and showing that character. It complements it. It's like a sandwich, and you've evangelized.
It's like a sandwich.
Perfect.
I feel like this is more of a food topic that we've gotten into tonight rather than...
I'm still hungry, always hungry.
Evangelization.
Wonderful. And now we'll take our break before we open the line for questions. For those who'd like to call in here with your questions or comments, the number is 96256111. That is 96256111, or email us here at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. That is thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. Or in the comment section on the live video stream on the Facebook page of the Voice of Charity. So stay tuned here on 1701 AM. George Manasseh here on 1701 AM. You can now download the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes on the Apple iTunes, and follow us also on our social media through the Voice of Charity. Also, for those men who want to live their calling, check out my Rite of Manhood podcast on iTunes, where I walk you through each week to create your rite of passage into manhood. And also go on our website, www.theriteofmanhood.com, for more information. And now we have an open line, so if you would like to call in with your questions or comments, the number to dial is 96256111. That is 96256111, or email us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com, or in the comment section of the live video stream on the Voice of Charity Facebook page, and we'll look forward to hearing from our listeners. Big topic. How to evangelize in your workplace. Yeah, something for you to go back tomorrow. We can go back tomorrow to our workplaces and take some action and really think about how we can address our colleagues in coming to the Catholic faith. I think it's an essential part of our faith. And we already have a question. We have a question from William from Sydney. And he writes to us, he's emailed us. My workplace is transgender supportive, and I'm a manager for our division. We often have conversations about religion and the Catholic Church abuse crisis. How can I break the ice and come out about my faith in such a hostile environment? I think it's a very good question. And if you haven't mentioned about your faith yet and really come out about it and spoken to anybody about it, I think it can be extremely hard to come out, because, look, it's different when you start a new job and you come out from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, when you start a new job, you get paid more from the beginning. It's different from the beginning.
Yeah.
Stages.
That's a really hard topic to just think about even.
Yeah.
But
what we do here on the Catholic Church, we solve real world problems.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay. So let's put it in perspective. If somebody's existing there at a workplace.
So
somebody's at a workplace.
My question is, how long has it been there? And
let's take an example. Maybe been there for a couple of years as a manager.
Yeah, okay. Let's just make a scenario here. So he's been there for a couple of years, and he's a manager. So people will generally know what he's like. Mm. But are his staff new, or are his staff have been there with him for a bit longer, or even the same length as him?
Factors come into play.
Yeah, it's generally very there's a few different dependent factors that you got to think about as well, but. As long as they know what you stand for, you know, and at the end of the day, you're there to work.
Yeah, right? To get things done.
Yeah, and you are probably hired to work there because you do so well.
Mm.
You know, you do things really well.
And so that's where you can start from.
Yeah.
Possibly that, you know, you're doing something well to do a better job at what you're already actually carrying out. And look, if somebody is good and they're good at what they're doing, And that's the essence of doing a good job and sanctifying your work and growing in holiness to be an asset to the company. That's part of holiness. Because if you think about it, in the Old Testament, God demanded sacrifice and he never accepted anything that was faulty. Just like as San Jose Maria Escrivá says, our work cannot be faulty. We can't offer to God something that has blemish. So by being an asset to the company, you know, you've already built that rapport. And then obviously, in that case, obviously as a manager, you're already doing that. I think then you can come out about it and talk exactly, employ the method of the weekend talk method. I like just like to call it the weekend.
Yeah, the weekend chats.
The weekend chat method.
Yeah.
And start introducing people slowly, because it hasn't been done before, assuming, to your faith by mentioning that you went to, that you got a Sunday mass or, oh, got to leave early tonight. Got a bit of a church event, youth event. Start off with a youth event, or I got professional development from my church. So people see that there's some kind of a link to the way you perform as a leader at work and your faith. When people see that connection in the workplace, that your faith is changing the way you work, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because people have career aspirations. And the second you can be someone that is influenced by essentially just growing in your faith and developing professionally, I think that's a real...
improving your situation, improving your daily life, improving your outlook.
So look, William, take action with the... we'll leave you with the weekend chat method. Start off for the next 3 weeks by mentioning every Monday that, church event, slowly, and talk about youth or some other aspect of your church event that's not church related, to introduce your colleagues around you, and do that openly in an open space office or individually to each conversation, each person. Take that on for the next 3 weeks. That should introduce people that, look, you're a practicing Catholic, and then start having deeper conversation. The next 3 weeks after that, so it's a 6-week challenge, create conversations, much deeper conversations with that weekend chat. Ask them, oh, what's your religion? Or what's your... ask people what their religion's like. Look, you've got to take that step. You've got to take that leap. You've got to break the ice. It's never comfortable.
No, people do open up once you actually start asking those questions, you know.
And he mentioned he's in a homosexual and transgender supportive company. And what you need to affirm is that, look, we don't discriminate against anybody and we accept and work with everybody. And to show that, look, you're open-minded, you don't discriminate against people, but you disagree respectively with people, people have will level up their level of respect for you. And I think it's essential that we do that.
So because people will see you in a certain way.
Yeah. So 3-week challenge. After that, another 3 weeks of really leveling up the conversations, and then take it from there. Thank you, William. And then second question was emailed to us from Charbel from Bankstown. And
thanks, Charbel.
Thank you, Charbel. So how can I keep my witness to Christ professional at the same time as my workmates and spreading my... As some of my workmates are spreading our faith discussions around, and I have lunch with good dealings with other people, and I see them also at daily mass. So you have other colleagues. So he has other colleagues at work that are starting to evangelize around him. I mean, you get those
really lucky.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, look. So obviously, finding sometimes you know you work somewhere. I used to work during my internship, go to mass. And I'd see somebody, one of my managers at Mass, knew he was a practicing Catholic, and that's how we connected. You know, Mass really unites people. Someone that goes to daily Mass, you might, and going to a local place close to where you work, can really help unite Catholics within the same workplace that know they're practicing Catholics and team together to sort of evangelize. That's team evangelization.
Yeah.
So the way you keep it professional is obviously, look, freedom of expression of religion. Anyone can speak about religion. There's nothing unprofessional about speaking about your faith. Absolutely not. There is nothing unprofessional. Other religions do it. Other religions talk about it openly. There is nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing except if it goes into discrimination. There is nothing, there's no reason why a Catholic practicing their faith should be discriminated against anyone of any kind. That's not in the nature of our faith. So obviously, to answer that, to keep it professional, obviously, link the Canadian, when you have a faith discussion, talk about how your faith helps you to perform better.
Mm.
That's a very serious thing. That impresses upon powerful. Secular mm. people.
It's very, very powerful.
Yeah. It really does. Secular people who don't of no faith, don't practice their faith, or lapsed Catholics or any other religion who may not be practicing, in order to bring them to the Catholic faith and start to slowly show them the hope that lies within you. As 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in your hearts and always be ready to give an apologia. The Greek translation of apology, not really a sorry, I'm Catholic, but an apologia, which is a defense explanation, and continues to say, for the hope that lies within you, with meekness, kindness, and respect. That is the art of apologetics. Apologetics is not apologizing, it's explaining or defending your Catholic faith, because we find ourselves as Catholics, I mean, look, you'll always find someone might bring up the abuse, you know, the abuse scandal in the church, you know, it's always, it's what we're known for these days, unfortunately, by the media, the hostile media out there. And I think it's important to team together with those Catholics, Charbel, in your workplace, and find a way you can evangelize. Because if there's two or more people that are Catholics or gathered in my name, as our Lord says, you can really capitalize on that. Because someone can have that conversation there, someone can have that conversation, and you can slowly introduce... Or you could have that conversation openly in the workplace. Oh, how's church going? I used to do that.
Yeah, same. Internship. Yeah, yeah. I do that as well. Oh, wow. Sometimes it's...
So you have somebody else that's practicing Catholic in your workplace.
Well, they're more Christian.
Okay. That works.
Yeah, Christians
know,
also ecumenical, work. Ecumenical, yeah. Humanism. Yeah, like our Orthodox brothers and sisters. Can't rule them out.
Exactly.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you do have... Protestants and stuff like that, but that's better than nothing.
Exactly, like even though look, and we disagree then, on many things, but essentially,
as and then you push them towards the true faith. So
you hit two birds.
It's a win-win.
Look, it's a win-win for everybody. To really evangelize on all those, to really capture all those avenues of evangelization and so.
Being a good example, being a kind person, it really, it does wonders, and it pushes you to a different direction than you would expect.
Yeah. So what you notice, look, is in the spirit of the spirituality of Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, for those who don't know who Saint Jose Maria was, Saint Jose Maria was the founder of the prelature, what's now known as the prelature of Opus Dei. Which is a lay organization focusing on the spirituality of ordinary life, of finding holiness and sainthood in the ordinary circumstances, especially with professional development. And it's important that if you're going to sanctify your work, hence evangelize, you need to understand that in order to evangelize, you need to think of Christ during your work, talk to Christ, and speak of Christ in your workplace. And speaking of Christ, the first part of evangelization, I think we've covered, is that we're sanctifying ourselves, as 1 Peter 3:15 says. So the prerequisite to evangelize is you need to be in the mindset. I mean, if you're going to give a great speech, you've got to be in the mindset of success.
Mm.
You know, if we're speaking on radio, we've got to be in the mindset of prayer, of delivery. You've got to be in the mindset. You just got to get in the zone. In order to get in the zone, that's what the grace is for.
Yeah.
And so we're doing that first part by going to Mass, growing holiness, those three practical tools. And to carry that out, I think, to speak of Christ, we need to speak of him in that manner. Let's say we're going to use the weekend...
The weekend chat.
The weekend chat method.
Mm.
And in using the weekend chat method, we then proceed... to then do a good job at work. Mm. Let's now talk about actually doing a good job. So let's say you're hired to manage projects, or you're hired to be an electrician, a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, a marketer, a recruiter, any kind of profession, a tradie.
Mm.
And the people that you encounter, every day in your job need to see that, you know, if you're doing a bad job, you're doing shonty work and then you're evangelizing.
People won't believe you.
People won't believe it, and people will start to associate. You're giving our Lord a bad name. I mean, really, if you're an ambassador for Christ and you're doing a pretty bad job, you know, with your actual task at hand, people just see, hey, you're a religious person, and they already have bad affiliation, a bad mindset about religious people.
You'll have a bad reputation in their mind already.
Yeah, and exactly. And how, on the other side, are you going to gain skills and grow in holiness? By doing a good job, you're growing in sanctity.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important that it's part of the spiritual life of St. Jose Maria. You're offering a sacrifice to God with your work. You know, in doing, let's say, this radio hour that we're doing, if we're doing a bad job, we're not helping people progress in the three practical tools, then what are we going to offer to God in that last hour, in those last 2 hours, or that task?
Mm.
So, as you said, look, start before, pray before, and pray after. That's a method there. But seek professional development. I think that could be, a fourth practical tool. In your personal life, seek how to develop in what you're doing on a day-to-day level to get better at it.
Yeah.
Firstly, so you can grow in holiness, to offer your tasks up to God, and to grow in holiness and to see yourself as serving society and serving our Lord. Because your secular work is holiness, is prayer.
Mm.
Work is your prayer. And secondarily, if you do a good job, like for instance, there have been times where, I've gone an extra mile to help someone and it's not my responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not trying to boast about myself. You know, I wish I didn't do it. Couldn't be bothered. but, you know, I did take that effort to help somebody. And it wasn't even mentioned to me to help them. And I noticed and I took the effort. And the next day, I capitalized on it by talking about my faith. Oh, I had a church youth group meeting. Oh, it was so tiring. You know, and we had a faith discussion after that.
Mm.
You know, we spoke about my faith. And we had, obviously I explained to him the papacy. And this guy was a Bible-believing Christian. And he didn't like Catholic beliefs. And I explained to him, I clarified to him a few things about the papacy and the saints, which he didn't really understand.
Mm.
But the day before, I helped this person out. I did him an extra favor with our secular work that I was able to do. And I went that extra mile and he saw that integrity. So that it's like opening a gearbox, you know. When you're driving manual, you open the gear to change. So what I did was open the gear of his mind by helping somebody in that avenue that they needed help with, and their appreciation of me grew in that moment. You know, I don't know why you appreciate me, but the next day I knew, hey, she's in a good mood, good rapport, let's capitalize on this with evangelization.
Yeah.
So doing a good job, and when people see you have integrity, you work ethically and you work hard, they see the hope that lies within you. Why are you doing a good job? Why are you going that extra mile? Why are you doing this?
Why are you bothered?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, human error, sometimes we're not bothered. We can't be. We've got to be realistic. Mm. Work is hard and can be tiring. But when they see, look, you have a positive attitude and you have just this different attitude, people will start to notice something about you that's different, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, when you really push yourself, you'll achieve more than what you thought you would. And in that way, you're going to grow in different ways in your professional life. Like when you go to conferences to purposely grow professionally in your field, you know, those are the kind of moments where you can actually see, I'm not the only one who struggles with things. You know, other people do as well.
That's great. So, it's wonderful.
So, you know, and it's something that you can talk about.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good in that way.
Yeah. So, look, I think tonight we've discussed some very, very strong points regarding the Catholic toolbox's approach in actually taking action with your faith and showing that to people. So, obviously, getting that balance right, that you do have to talk about your faith. And then, so you have to mention some aspect of your faith. You have to mention that you're Catholic. You got to spit it out, you know.
Mm.
It's never comfortable. Find a good time to do it, spit it out, mention it. If you haven't started, do the weekend chat method. The weekend chat method always works. You know, you can't fail you. When you mention you go to church, somebody will ask you something. When you mention, you know, it's a season, or I had a meeting, I had a church meeting, I had something to do with my faith, and they see concurrently, simultaneously, hand in hand, you're a great worker, a great employee that's delivering results and achieving what you need to achieve, people will then see concurrently that there's something to your work. And then having those strong conversations and friendship evangelization, that's the most important thing. So I think with these three practical tools, it's been definitely helpful tonight. Thank you very much, Nikita, for your input.
Thanks again, George.
The time has run out this week. Thank you for being with us tonight. I hope we've all been equipped with the three practical tools necessary. So let's take action now with our faith. Be sure to download our podcast on iTunes and follow us on social media. Thank you for tuning in to the Catholic Toolbox. Until next week, I'm your host and founder, George Manassa. God bless you all and good night. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.